Are you a Mary or a Martha? Or, so that has been the question that has been posed to me in absolutely every sermon on this gospel reading that I have ever heard. Are you a Mary? Do you focus all that you are onto Jesus? Do you sacrifice everything else to hear his words? Often, Mary has been likened to nuns and monks who abandon the distractions of the world for the God-focused life of the cloister. Are you a Martha? Are you constantly being pulled by self-imposed obligations? Do you sacrifice your theological study and devotion to Jesus for other tasks? For business or for work? At best, Martha is likened to an activist or a social justice warrior actively working to implement Jesus' love for others into the world. At worst, Martha is like an anxious soccer mom, or corporate executive, or just a constant fretter who has no time for God because they are constantly busy with other things. The heart of the question, though, is a judgment. One of these two ways of life. The story pits sister against sister. There's the contemplative over in the one corner and the activist in the other. So who wins? Mary has chosen the better part, says Jesus. Mary wins, Martha is chastised. Doesn't seem quite fair because last week's gospel, which appears right before this one, was about the parable of the Good Samaritan, where caring for someone, action, beat out religiosity. The opposite is true here. So, what exactly got us to this point? Well, here's the story as I've often heard it. Jesus and his disciples come unannounced to the house of Mary and Martha, wanting to be truly hospitable, which was her social imperative, Martha sets out to make an elaborate meal, worthy of Jesus. And Jesus relaxes, and he puts his feet up along with the male disciples, and he starts teaching. So Mary comes in, and she sits at his feet, just soaking up all of the wisdom that Jesus is sharing. All the while, Martha is tidying. Now, she hadn't had a chance to do this earlier since her guests were unannounced, and also cooking, as she had not anticipated she would be hosting a dinner party tonight. Literally, everyone else in the house is sitting and talking. And that's the point Martha snaps. Jesus, don't you even care that I am doing everything and my sister is doing nothing? Jesus doesn't care. He values the attention and declares Mary doing the better thing. Ouch. That must have stung for Martha. And it's from this particular place that one particularly toxic interpretation has been rattled on over the centuries, that women should be passive listeners and not active leaders. This text has been used to keep women out of ministry. But I can't believe that's what Jesus wants us to take away from this. So let's rewind for a moment. We're actually never told that anyone besides Jesus enters the village. The text tells us that he enters a certain village, he singular. So this idea that the disciples descended on the house of Mary and Martha in this unexpected way, it's not there. So let's just push this entourage out of our minds from this scene. And a woman named Martha welcomes Jesus into her home. Her home. It might be where Mary lives as well, but what we know is that it is Martha's house. And many have asserted that Martha's house was likely a house church with Martha as its pastor. Now, we have to remember that Luke is writing after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, when house churches were common. In fact, the Greek word for what she is occupied with is where we get our English word deacon. She is stretched in all directions by her ministry. Now, biblical scholar Mary Stromer Hansen points out something interesting here, and she urges us to revisit the King James Version of the Bible for the scene that is happening inside this house. Now, it's not particularly common for biblical scholars to send us back to the King James, but we'll go with it. And for ease of our modern ears, I will spare you the these and the thous, and I will quote from the New King James Version, which says, "And Martha had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." They're both at Jesus' feet, listening. It's not one, it's not the other, it's both of them. But if they're both sitting there listening at Jesus' feet, it makes Martha's complaint a little bit more confusing. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Unless, of course, that is, as Hansen points out, we reread Martha's complaint. "My sister has left me to serve alone." What if Mary hasn't abandoned Martha in this moment to go and sit at Jesus' feet? What if Mary has left Martha to go out and do her own ministry? What if Mary is in some far-off place sharing Jesus' message of love? Now, Hansen convincingly argues that Martha is basically telling Jesus, "Jesus, when you're out there in the world and you see my sister on your travels, could you tell her to come back here? I need her help. I am only one person, and this house church congregation, it's too needy for me alone. I need backup." So you might be asking yourself at this point, how is Mary's path superior then? Well, it's not. A more honest translation of this phrase that we get, "Mary has chosen the better part," is "Mary has chosen that good part." Mary has chosen the path of an itinerant missionary instead of the pastor of a stable house church. Mary's path is good. Martha's path is also good. Jesus is no more about to take away Mary's ministry than he is Martha's. So what we have here is not a story pitting a sister against a sister. It's not a judgment about how one person uses time versus the other. And it is certainly not a condemnation of women in ministry. Mary and Martha listen. Mary and Martha act. Mary and Martha are ministers to Jesus and his people. Mary and Martha are disciples. So, are you a Mary or a Martha? I hope the answer is yes.